In the late 60s and early 70s, David Crosby was famous for his vocal harmonies with the Byrds and Crosby, Stills, and Nash. But he soon became equally famous as the picture of the rock star who had self-destructed. A 15-year addiction to heroin and cocaine undid him physically and mentally. In 1985 and 86, he spent a year in Texas prisons on drugs and weapons charges. Yesterday, we discussed his life up to his imprisonment. Now we pick up the story in part two. I asked him if he was terrified of serving time in prison.
That was the reading everybody put on it, but the actual fact was I was afraid of kicking. Uh-huh. I just didn't want to stop. The majority of my psyche at that point was entirely, totally concerned with satisfying the drug, you know, desire. And that was all I cared about, and I would have said, done anything to avoid having to go through stopping.
Well, let me ask you this. Shortly before you went into jail, you were checked into a couple of hospitals. And some of the medical reports from those hospital stays are reprinted in your autobiography.
Mm-hmm, yeah, we did that on purpose.
Well, let me just read a little bit of it. One of the hospital reports describes you as a disheveled man who appears his stated age and is slightly obese. The second ends with, finally, it must also be noted that his current embitteredness and sense of despair are related to his lifelong inability to cope with externally imposed confinement. It is in this context, then, that suicidal attempts cannot be ruled out should he be forced to spend a significant time in jail. Did you ever try to take your life while you were in jail?
No, you know, it's odd. I have never been suicidal. I've never felt suicidal. I've never tried to take my own life, and I certainly didn't in prison. In actual fact, the toughest part of my incarceration was in the county jail, where they had me in solitary for a long, long, long time.
Why were you in solitary?
Well, they were making an example of me, for one thing. You know, they'd say, hey, look here, we got us a rock star. They also were a little afraid to put me in population in the county jail because they were afraid that somebody would, you know, just, you know, knife me in the food line or something, and that they would have to deal with the consequences.
So you had to go through withdrawal while in solitary confinement?
I did, yeah, in a steel box about the size of your closet, and they didn't let me out for anything. They just fed me through a hole in the door, and the description of a drug detox in the Texas Department of Corrections is sort of like this. It goes sort of like, you got yourself like this here, you get yourself out of it, boy. And that's about as far as it goes. They didn't give me an aspirin, you know. I mean, it was awful.
So, but it meant in a way that you had to find your own resources because no one was there to help you.
That's right. When I did go to prison, it was because I asked to go. I could have done the rest of my sentence in county jail, but I asked them please to send me down to Huntsville because that way I could get in population and have people to talk to, be able to get books to read, be able to be in the prison band, which was a big deal. I really, when I started, you know, to wake up, I wanted to play guitar very badly, and you nut up just sitting there in a little box and not being able to do anything.
What kind of treatment did you get from your fellow prisoners when they knew that you were a rock star and that you were there on drug charges?
It ran the gamut, you know. It went all the way from, hey man, I've always loved your music. It was real good. Hey man. Are you Crosby? Hey, that's real good music. I mean, it's not as good as George Strait, but it's real good. To completely abusive hatred, you know, from people that you know saw me as a symbol of you know rich kids that they you know hated. They've never had a dime, you know. They never had two pair of shoes, and to see somebody that they knew had had Ferraris and, you know, yachts and stuff like that, it was just a symbol for them, and they hated me.
Mm-hmm. You describe at one point how you really impressed everyone in prison by showing you could pick a lock, and they had a new high esteem for you, knowing that you could be a criminal also.
Yeah. Well, in there, the doper is a very low low status criminal. When I managed to, it was just sheer luck, man. The guy handed me the only lock I'm really proficient at picking, and when I picked it quickly, you know, he thought, you know, hey, this is pretty dang impressive. This guy actually, he knows how to do real crime, so that gained me access to an air conditioned room that I used to be able to go into every once in a while. I'll tell you, that was nice.
Really? And should I ask how you learned how to pick a lock in the first place?
A friend of mine showed me, just something to do while you're sitting around loaded.
Oh, okay. How were you able to get a guitar in prison?
I wasn't. It's a completely false concept. People said I had one, I didn't.
So you just sang?
I could get access to a guitar when I played in the band. When I went out to the room that we rehearsed the band in, that was the quote music room unquote, then I could get access to a guitar for an hour or two at that time.
Mm-hmm.
But they certainly do not and never have let anybody have guitars in their cells.
So you were what, guitarist and singer in the band?
Yeah, when I came in they were thrilled, you know. They said, hey, wow.
What kind of music had they been playing?
Rock and roll.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and they were pretty darn good. There were some talented people in there. The guy who was the lead guitar player in the band is still there and always will be. He's doing life for murder.
This was, as you describe it, your first time playing and singing straight. You were so used to performing high.
Yeah, this was the first time.
What was the difference for you?
It's a big difference. At first, it was very uncomfortable. After a while, you get to like it, and now I think I'm much better at performing straight than I was high. When I see film or video of me trying to perform stoned now, at least from the latter part of it, I am impressed with how bad I was.
When you were in jail, it would have been very difficult for you to get access to drugs, even if you wanted to. So staying clean was perhaps not quite as hard as it was when you actually got out, when one does have access to whatever one wants. Was there, like, a new challenge for you after you got out of prison to stay clean?
Yes. It was, probably the thing I was most afraid of. You know, because I had done this once before. I did some time in the county jail and went out and instantly went right back on it. And I was very afraid about it. But I had more time under my belt this time. And I had the support of my now wife. And when I got out, you know, we looked at each other and said, well, you know, what do you want to do? We both wanted to get loaded. We both had a strong craving to do it, and we said, shall we, you know, because we knew we could, and we both said, nah, you know, like, we've got a chance now, let's try not to, and we'd already tried dying, we thought we'd try living.
What about going on the road, is that hard?
Yeah, it was harder at first, you know, sometimes somebody will come up to me and say, hey, you want a little pick-me-up, you know, at first, I would get mad, you know. I would think to myself, God, doesn't this ignorant fool know who I am and how much trouble I got in? I mean, how can they do this? But it's you know, the longer I stay straight, the more easily I can handle it. And it's gotten to the point now where if somebody offers me something, I just say, no, I don't do that. And I just keep going, you know, just keep walking.
Well, I wish you the best, and I thank you very, very much for talking with us.
That's my pleasure.
David Crosby's autobiography, Long Time Gone, is published by Doubleday. He has two forthcoming records, one solo and one with Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young. This is Fresh Air.